All right, we'll start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Happy that you could all be here with us today. For those of you who are just kind of tuning in, we are in the middle of a series, an eight-part series, about the path to peace, as you see there on your handout. And just to kind of catch you up to speed, what we've been talking about over the past few weeks, our theme verse has been that first verse there, Philippians 4, 6 to 7, in which God promises us that be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What we've been talking about for the past few weeks is how to find peace in this world, how to find peace in life. And what we said in the very beginning is that our Lord promises us right here through the words of St. Paul that peace is found by prayer. Okay? And we've been trying to figure out the right kind of prayer that gets us that peace, because God knows that I pray and you pray and all of us pray, but we have a tough time finding peace. So we've been looking at the Lord's model for prayer, which is the Our Father, and taking it apart phrase by phrase and seeing how when we pray the Lord's Prayer and we live the Lord's Prayer, then we can find true peace. First week, we talked about the first phrase, which is the prayer of connection. And we talked about how what it means that God is our Father who is in heaven and connecting to Him. And we said that if you miss that one and you don't connect to God as your Father, you don't have that relationship, all the rest of it ain't going to do you much good. So if you missed that week, you might want to get it on CD or get it on tape, because the rest of it ain't going to do you much good. And then after that, we talked about the next piece of it, which is hallowed be thy name. We talked about last week how living a life hallowing God's name and honoring God's name and recognizing who it is that I connected to in week one makes the biggest difference in the world, to put things in perspective. Now this week, we're going to go the next step, which is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 right there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to talk about how the prayer for God's kingdom can give us peace in life. And this task of accomplishing peace in life, as you and I both know, is not an easy one. And we kind of talked about that in the very beginning, that finding peace in life is very difficult. Here's the thing about peace that you got to realize. If you can have peace for your whole day and weekend and week, and it doesn't take but one phone call, right? It only takes one phone call in the middle of the night. It only takes one trip to see so-and-so. It only takes 1 minute seeing that person that drives you up the wall. Or it only takes a flash of a second when you're in a car, in a plane, or anything to lose your peace. So peace is one of those things that just because you got it today doesn't mean you're going to have it the next minute. Okay? It's very easy to lose peace. And there's three specific situations that are very common that we lose our peace. And they're right there on your handout. It's easy to lose your inner peace when, number one, circumstances are uncontrollable. When things are outside of your control. For example, illnesses are outside of your control. Traffic is outside of your control. September 11th is outside of your control. These things cause us to lose our peace because we can't control them. Second one that you see right there is when people are unchangeable, okay? When people are unchangeable, you want to lose your peace in a second. You ever try to change someone? This is my job. This is what I do for a living. Change someone who doesn't want to be changed, okay? That'll make you lose your peace. That'll make you go gray hair. That'll cause you to go berserk in a matter of minutes, okay? Trying to change someone who doesn't want to be changed. And the third one that you see right there, when problems are unexplainable, okay? When you can't figure out why this doesn't work the way it's supposed to work. But what we're going to see today is that when you learn this prayer of surrender, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then you can find peace. So with that said, what does that mean, that phrase? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I think of all the phrases in the Lord's Prayer, this is the most misunderstood one. This is the one that people don't really understand what it means. What does it mean, thy kingdom come? Okay, what is God's kingdom? Why do we want it to come? Where is it right now, and how is it going to get from there to here? What does it have to do with anything being God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven? Well, first of all, let's define our terms. What is God's kingdom? The kingdom of God is very simply, okay, if you look at it in an earthly way, what is the kingdom of, if there's a king, his kingdom is anywhere where he rules. Agree? Okay? Anywhere that king, I don't know, someone give me a king right here, name of a king.
King Kong.
King Kong. Okay, I was going to say King James, LeBron James, but okay, either one. King Kong, King James, anywhere that they rule, okay, as within these borders, everyone follows my laws. I'm the king here. Over there, they don't follow my laws. I don't reign there. That's not my kingdom. So God's kingdom is simply where God reigns, where God rules. And any place that God is the Lord and the Master, okay, is God's kingdom. Question. Is God's kingdom on earth? No. Okay, God's will, here on earth, God doesn't reign. Okay? Evil does whatever they want. If God reigned here, there'd be no September 11th. If God reigned here, there'd be no cancer, there'd be no sickness. Now, God's kingdom can come into this world through us, the believers, but this earth is not heaven. In heaven, is there anything outside of God's will in heaven? No. That's God's kingdom. Okay? Here, earth, there's human will, and there's man's will, so this is not God's kingdom. Yet. Okay? There will come a day when Christ will come back to this earth, and he will make it his kingdom, and every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess. But until we get there, then the only way that God's kingdom can be here on earth is through me and you. That if I make God the king of, and start small, my heart. Okay, if God's the king of me, then here's God's kingdom in this little circle. And then if I have a house, and I make God the king of the house, then God's the king right there. And then here we have a church where there's lots of little houses coming together to make one big house. God's the king of this house. And God can take over the world. That's how God's kingdom gets spread. Okay? But let's be clear that right now on earth, it's not God's kingdom. There's evil all over the place. Okay? And that first expression of thy kingdom come is explained by the second one, by thy will be done. Where God's will is done, that's where God's kingdom comes. Okay? Where people are doing the will of God, there God is the king. So with that said, what we want to see is how this prayer, okay, of thy kingdom come, thy will be done, can bring me peace in my life. Okay? Saw a bunch of people walked in a little bit ago. So if you missed the beginning, what we're talking about is how the Lord's Prayer brings us peace in life and can restore our inner peace. Because he told us that if you want the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, as it says in Philippians 4, then let everything be done in prayer and supplication. So what we're doing is looking at the model prayer that the Lord gave and seeing how phrase by phrase I get peace when I pray this prayer. So with that said, when I learn how to pray the prayer of surrender, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, it means three things to me in my life. It means first and foremost that I accept God's plan. Okay? I accept God's plan. There's two plans. There's your plan and God's plan. And the two are usually not the same. Okay? Sometimes they are, but majority of the time, they're not the same. God's purpose may be different than your purpose. God's will may be different than your will. And when I learn how to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and I say it with all my heart, basically what I'm saying is, I accept your will. I accept your purpose, whatever it is that you want to be done. Your will be done in my life. We're not praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done for all these beautiful people who are standing there. I'm saying, let your will be done in my life. I accept your plan. This is not an easy thing to do, okay? It's very easy said, easier said than done. Because it's easy to say that you accept things, but it's really difficult to accept things that you can't change, right? It stinks because we like to have control. It stinks that there's this situation that I can't fix. That there's this person who I can't solve this relationship. Or this person can't see things my way. Or the situation at school or at work, it can't be fixed the way I want it. It's hard for us to accept things that are outside of our control. But when you sit back and think about it, the majority of your life is outside of your control. The majority of things in your life that you deal with are not things that you chose. You didn't choose where you were born. You didn't choose when you were born. You didn't choose who you were born to. You didn't choose the parents that you had. You didn't choose your brother, your sister. You didn't choose where you went to grade school. And it continues that way throughout life. I hope you don't choose when you're going to die. And I hope you don't know when you're going to die. I hope it's not something that you take into your own hands or anything like that. Life is a series of choices that are made, or I shouldn't say choices that are made, things that happen to you, and the majority of them are outside of your control. Now, of course, there's some things that you do control, and it's important that you take care of those things. But the point is how to deal with those things that you can't control. Worrying about them doesn't give peace. Getting frustrated doesn't give peace. Believe me, if those things work, I would tell you, worry. Okay? But it just doesn't work. It doesn't solve the problem. No matter how much I worry about my mom and her sickness, it ain't gonna fix it. No matter how much I worry about my grades, it ain't gonna fix it. No matter how much I feel sorry for myself or throw myself a pity party or wallow in my own self whatever, it ain't gonna fix it. So what is the only thing that can fix it? What is the only thing that works to give me peace when there's something that's outside of my control? There's only one thing that works. Acceptance. That's the only way to find peace. If anyone has a different solution, please let me know. But the only way to have peace in life, because 90% of the stuff is outside of your control, the only way to have peace in life is to accept the things that you can't change. St. Paul understood this. Look what he said in Philippians 4, 11 to 13 on your handout there. And as we're reading this, I want you to see if you can say this with him. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can you say that? Can you say, I have learned, no matter what state I'm in, to be content? No matter what the weather's like, to be content? No matter what my boss does to me, to be content? No matter how much traffic there is, to be content? Can you say that? Are you able to? I know for me, that's a very difficult thing to say. But what St. Paul is teaching us here is that contentedness is not a nature thing. It's a learned thing. I have learned to be content in whatever state that I'm in. Okay? And that's the kind of thing that me and you need to learn as well. You know what makes this verse really amazing? When did St. Paul say this? When did he write these words? On the beach of Tahiti? When he was on vacation in the Bahamas? When did he write this? In jail. Tied to a stinky, smelly, fat Roman guard. Who's like this far away from him, who just breathes out and you just like, man. Okay, that's the kind of guy that St. Paul's tied to 24 hours a day. He wants to go to the bathroom. He's got to take the guard with him to the bathroom. He can't go anywhere by himself. And he says like that, I've learned to be content. My goodness. We'd go crazy. We'd complain. We'd be bitter. We'd want to kill ourselves and kill everyone else around us. But he says somehow, I've learned to be content. That's what I'm talking about, acceptance. Okay? Bless you. And like I said, it's a learned thing. It's something that you can acquire. Or it's not something that is natural. It's a choice that he made to do it. Okay? And that's the first step to understanding this prayer. This thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Is you must understand that you need to accept the situations that are outside of your control. Because even though it's outside of your control, there's one person whose control it's in, and that's God's control. So we need to learn how to accept the things that God is putting in my life. Okay? Even if I don't understand. Well, some of you may say, okay, that's fine. I'll accept it, but why doesn't God at least explain it to me? I'll accept the things that make sense, but there's certain things in my life that don't make sense. I think I should be married now. I don't see any good reason for me not to be married right now. So how can I accept this? This doesn't make sense. This is against logic. So I can accept the things that make sense from God, but I can't accept the things that don't make sense from God. Doesn't it seem like sometimes when you're going through the hardest situation that is the most difficult to accept, that God doesn't open his mouth? You ever felt that way? All the time. Okay, very good. Then you're in the right place. Okay? Then you're doing the right thing. Do you know why? Let's go back to grade school here. You remember when you were in third grade or fourth grade or whatever? And it was test time. Teacher teaches 1 plus 2 equals 3, yada, 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 yada. Then gives the test. What does the teacher do while you're taking the test? Smacks you if you're mean, okay? I don't know why. That'll be the topic for next week. Why the teacher smacking you. We need to do a confession, buddy. Third grade? Already in third grade she was smacking you? What does the teacher do, unless you're mean, for the rest of us who are taking the test? The teacher teach? Teacher, explain. She sits quietly, okay? Sit open her mouth until the test is done. And then she says, oh, you know, the answer number 1 was B and the answer number 3 was this and that. But during the test, it's silence, right? God is the same way, okay? And any time there's a situation in your life which you don't get, okay, which you don't understand, and God seems to be, where are you? That means it's a test. And God is being silent to see how you're going to do on the test. Will you trust me even when you don't understand what I'm doing? Will you stick with me even though it's against logic, so to speak? Of course, it's never against logic. God is above logic, not against logic. But when you think it's against logic, when all your buddies are telling you to leave me and do it your own way, will you stick with me? It's a test. And I'm telling you, anytime God is silent in your life, it's God's way of testing you. Okay? So if you have prayed, God, why? You hear nothing, you're in the right place. Okay? Because God is giving you a test. You know, I found this to be true very much in one's spiritual growth progress. When you first come to God and you start your relationship with God, it's like the honeymoon. And God provides a great honeymoon. You feel like every one of your prayers, like heaven is coming down and answering your prayers. And you feel like lightning bolts around you. And you feel just like everything is great and there's nothing that can go against me. And I pray one thing and in the morning it's solved. And people come to me and say, Buddha Anthony, guess what? We prayed for this and it happened and I can't believe it and prayer works. And that's great. But that's step one. And what I found is that that doesn't last forever. Because what God does quickly after that is, it's at the beginning. You know, it's kind of like, because you're kind of new, let me help you along and give you a push. You're trying to ride your bicycle. And God says, okay, here's your training wheels. But then after that, he's going to say, I want you to grow up, and I want you to ride your bike on your own. So let me remove some of these training wheels. Let me just push you and see if you can ride by yourself. It doesn't mean I'm not with you, but I want you to learn how to grow up. And I want you to be independent, so to speak. Not independent of him, but saying that you trust him even when he doesn't speak. That you trust him even when you don't feel this and that. Some people say, I don't feel the prayer anymore like I used to. That's when you need to really pray, because that's God's way of testing you. Will you pray only if I give you feelings of this and that? Then you're just doing what you want. But who's the one who's going to stick through prayer when they don't feel nothing? Who's the one who's going to still come to church when they can't find a parking spot? Back when you first started coming to church, there was always parking spots available. And it was, everything was great. But now there's no parking spot. Who's going to stick it out with me and things like that? So what I'm telling you is that God does this all the time. And what our response should be is, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. Even if I don't get it, I accept it. Okay? I still trust in you. That's the key to the prayer of surrender. Do you know why it's so important that you learn to trust God when there's no explanation? Okay? Well, of course it's important because, like I said, he's not going to give you one. But more importantly, like the next step in it, the greatest barrier between you and a life of peace is this explanation that you're looking for. That's the greatest barrier. That's what's stopping you from getting peace. That everything would be great if God just explained this. I'm telling you, God ain't gonna explain it. So what you need to do is get past it, okay? And let go of the explanation and find peace even when there is no explanation. Because the bottom line is the explanation ain't gonna come. So if you're sitting there in life and praying every single day, why God, why? You are setting yourself up for a disappointment. Because I'm telling you, there's a really good chance that God ain't going to answer. I'm not saying he'll never answer, but I'm saying there's a good chance that he will not answer and that he will not even explain it. Why? Because first of all, he's God and you are not God. So he doesn't owe you any explanation. Okay? God doesn't come and say, you know, John, would you mind if I change this in your life? If you don't mind, you know, next week, anything, it would be okay with you. He doesn't ask. All right, God wants to change your life, he changes your life. We're the ones who are here. He's the one who's here. So the little guy isn't owed an explanation from the big guy. The president doesn't have to come explain himself to me. Who am I? All right? The general does what he wants, and all the rest of us follow. Same way between us and God. You report to him, not he reports to you. Another reason that God doesn't explain it is because even if he did explain it, we probably wouldn't get it to begin with. Because God's brain is bigger than ours. You know, in Isaiah 55, I didn't put it on there, but it's a verse that I've told you guys many times, where God says that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So, a lot of times, we wouldn't understand God's ways, because we have a little pea brain compared to his. Alright? So that's why he doesn't explain it. But the most important reason that the explanation isn't going to give you peace is because the bottom line is, explanations don't comfort us. Think about it. You lose your son to is in the middle of the street and he gets hit by a car. All right, and you are stressed and you are sad and you're mourning, and then someone comes and explains it. Oh, it's because so-and-so was a drunk driver. They hit your car. Are you comforted now that you have the explanation? Does that make it all better? Okay, now you know where it came from, so everything's fine now. It doesn't do you any good. An explanation doesn't comfort you. An explanation doesn't solve your problem. What does solve your problem? See, God knows that an explanation will not give you any good, but what will give you good is His presence. And that's what He offers instead. Okay, He tells us, I may not explain this situation, because even an explanation is not going to do you much good. But what I will do is I'll come and I'll be present with you. And He promised us that even unto the end of the ages, He'll be with us. I will not leave you orphans. It's cover to cover, the Bible says the same thing. Okay? So the first step of understanding this prayer of surrender is accepting God's plan in my life. You know, just the other day I got this email, one of these forwards, and I never read it, but somehow, I don't know, for some reason I opened it. And one of these PowerPoint things that just plays with the music and cutesy and stuff like that, it was about a butterfly, and it was called The Butterfly's Lesson. Maybe some of you have seen it. This is what it said. Basically, there's a man sitting on a bench in a park or whatever, and he saw a little cocoon, all right? And he knows that the cocoon started to open a little bit, so the butterfly was trying to pop out of there. So he sees the small opening, and the butterfly is struggling to get out, and he's watching this thing for hours as the butterfly tries to slither out of there. Finally, the butterfly gets stuck. All right, he can go no more. So the man, out of the kindness of his heart, decides to help. Gets a pair of scissors, and he cuts the cocoon open. When he cuts the cocoon open, the butterfly pops out easily. All right, it shoots right out and falls down to the ground. But he noticed something about the butterfly. It wasn't like the rest of butterflies. Its body was all shriveled, and its wings were all weak. And it tried to start flapping them to fly, but it couldn't. They weren't strong enough. The body was too weak. So he kept watching, waiting for the wings to expand and the butterfly to boom and take off in the air and all this kind of stuff. But it never happened. And the rest of that butterfly's life, it never learned how to fly. It spent crawling around on the ground. You see, what the man in his kindness didn't understand is that the cocoon being restricted was God's plan. And it was the way God designed it, because that's how God wanted to strengthen the wings. By forcing the wings to push and this to get itself out of the cocoon is the only way the wings would be strong enough to fly once that sucker got out of there. I'm telling you this. You can learn a lesson from this butterfly, and this I know to be true, that if you didn't have struggles in your life, you'd be very weak. And sometimes struggles are the exact thing that you need to make you stronger, to give you victory, okay? If you had no obstacles in life, if you had no struggles, if you had nothing to overcome, you'd be a weak, crippled little butterfly like that other little butterfly which is just going to go around crawling. And that's not what God wants. So God gives us cocoons. God gives us hurdles to jump to make us strong and to make us strong in the areas that we need, okay? So that's accepting God's plan. The second thing I must do, I must not only just accepting God's plan for my life, because that's talking about kind of events, but there's a bigger picture right here. It's the next step of it, which is I surrender to God's control. Okay, the first step was accepting God's decision for my job, or accepting God's decision for my health, or accepting God's decision here. That's important, but the next step to go deeper is accepting God's control or surrendering to God's control in everything in life. Meaning, I give it up before He tries to take it away from me. Okay? That's what surrender means. Surrender means, see, if you're in a war, there's two ways to lose. You get beaten, and you get punished, and then you get dragged in, or yellow flag, toss in the towel, and take me while I'm alive. Either way, God's gonna win. Okay? Either way, God will win. It's your choice whether you want to go kicking and screaming or you want to surrender. And I'm telling you right now that if you want peace in life, you need to learn how to give up and surrender and say, you know what? I lost. I'm not going to win. I surrender to whatever it is you want to do in my life. I've been trying to do my own will. I've been trying to work my own plan. I surrender to your control. If that means that, you know, that I'm sick, it means I'm sick. And that means so-and-so hates me, so-and-so hates me. If that means I never get married, I never get married. If that means whatever, my child is sick, my child is sick. I surrender to your control 100%. That's the only way to find peace in life. You see, every morning, you got to get up and say to yourself, or say to God, or say to yourself, let's say, who's running my life today? Okay? Today is a day, and who's going to control my life? Either God controls it, or I control it, but it can't be both. It can't be two people driving the bus. Okay? It got to be one bus driver. Okay? So you must get up every day and decide who is controlling your life. Whose agenda will I follow today? God's or mine? See, oftentimes, we say to ourselves, we surrender to God's control, but it's a 99% surrender. Does 99% surrender work? No. Here's what we usually do. Okay, God, I surrender to your control, but you probably made an overlooking here. You overlooked something, so I'll just fill in the details for you. Or you probably left this out because you forgot, or maybe you don't know the best way. We're in the year 2005 now. It's different than 2,000 years ago. So this is the best way things should be done now. But I surrender to you and everything else. That doesn't work that way, okay? Has to be 100%. Anytime we have this adjusting God's will, not surrendering 100%, it always comes with a very common phrase that I hear lots of times. Have you ever said this? But God wants me to be happy, right? Have you said that one? I hear that one all the time. I know that God says this, but this is what's going to make me happy. And God wants me to be happy, right? Right? God wants us to be happy, right? You know? So this is what's going to make me happy. So I'm doing what God wants, just in a little bit different way. Anytime you hear someone saying that God just wants me to be happy, you know that person is justifying doing the wrong thing on the basis of God's some magical promise somewhere that God wants me to be happy and happiness equals this boyfriend or happiness equals this job or happiness equals this house. That's garbage, all right? That's what's called justifying or rationalizing something. And I heard something very nice the other day. You know what rationalizing is? You know what rationalize is? It's rational lies. That's what rationalize is. Rational, space, lies, all right? That's exactly what it is. When we rationalize, we convince ourselves of things that aren't true, and they make sense, and they look nice on paper, but the bottom line is, they just ain't true, okay? This idea of God wants me to be happy. The truth is that you will never be happy unless you do what God wants you to do. So anything outside of what God wants you to do in the name of making me happy is absolute nonsense. Because you will never find happiness, you will never find peace, unless you learn to do what God wants you to do. Why? Because if you are not doing what God wants you to do, you are looking Him straight in the eye and saying, you want this, I want this, let's fight about it. And you are warring with God. Hey, if you're in a war with God of all people who split the Red Sea, you're in trouble. All right, you will not have peace in life. If you're at war with anyone, but especially God Almighty Himself, and I'm telling you that anytime you try not to surrender, okay, you try to take control, you're basically taking something that belongs to God. You're playing the role of God, and that doesn't make Him happy. It makes Him angry. Just imagine, like, if I came into church and someone parked in my parking spot. That's my parking spot, okay? So anyone takes my parking spot has to deal with my wrath. Same thing. You try to take God's spot in life. You try to take God's spot in this world, in your life. He's not going to be a happy camper, all right? And you are making enmity with God. And if you do, for those of you who don't know, I have my own parking spot outside. I see some people say, I'm going to go get his spot. So, if I don't surrender, I'll have enmity with God. But what if I do surrender? What comes with that? Look at Romans 8, verse 6. The mind of sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by God, I'm sorry, by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Isn't that what we're talking about here? How to have peace and how to have inner peace in life? Well, that verse says very clearly that if your mind is controlled by God, you can have peace. But if it's not, it'll lead you to death. All right? Look at the next verse, Job chapter 22, verse 21. Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. If you want peace, if you want good in your life, the verse is very clear. The Lord is saying, I'm the one who gives peace, and I want you to get to know me. And I want you to know, get to know the way I want you to do things. Okay? But you have to surrender to me and to my plan. Let me ask you a question. What do you think is the number one most common thing that keeps people from surrendering to God? What do you think it is? Any guesses? Pride. Okay. Say again.
Themselves.
Okay. Who said something else? Fear. Okay. All the stuff you're saying is right. And I would say those are definitely things that keep us from coming close to God. But specifically what I'm talking about here is someone who knows God's will but doesn't want to surrender to it. You know what the number one thing is? All those things were right, but you know what it is? Lack of trust. Okay, I'm going to build on that. It's resentment towards God. I'm going to make it stronger. Okay, because we don't like to hear that we have resentment. But it's resentment. Believe me, I see it all the time. You don't know it's resentment. You don't admit it's resentment. But believe me, it's resentment. Resentment of what? Resentment that I didn't get the things that I wanted. I think I should have, you know, I wish that I had this kind of appearance. Then life would be great. And I'm bitter at God because he didn't give me that. Or I wish that I didn't have these parents. And I'm bitter at God because he gave me those parents. I won't admit it. I won't say that. But deep inside, there's a little piece of me that says, if God really was looking out for me, he'd have given me different parents. He'd have given me a different appearance. If God really loved me, he'd made me look like Abuna Anthony. Then all life problems would be solved, right? If my appearance was as good as Abuna Anthony's, then everything would be okay. Some people are disappointed in their family, in their marriage, in their job, in their whatever, and the bottom line is they blame it on God. Here's the thing about resentment. It's natural that you will be upset at God at times. It's natural that you will have some kind of negative feelings. And I don't think it's all that bad. The way I look at it is it's like a cold, okay? If you have a cold, it's not the end of the world. But if you've had a cold for 6 months, that's a serious situation, okay? So if something happens to you and you get upset and you really, like, you're upset, you're angry, and you kind of talk it out with God, but you get it resolved, that's okay. But if you have been angry at God for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 months, then you're in this critical situation that we need to get resolved, okay? The solution is to get past the resentment, stop blaming God, and understanding that God's going to do what God's going to do, and it's going to be what's best, okay? And pray this prayer. I trust, even God, when I don't understand, when I'm bitter, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life, okay? I accept your plan. I surrender to your control. And then the third step, okay? It's kind of a progression. I accept what God wants to do, the day-to-day stuff. Second, I surrender my whole life to him, my day from start to finish. And then the third, an overriding thing of it all, is I trust in God's care. Okay? And this is just what I was saying a second ago, that even when I'm bitter and I don't understand what God wants, I trust that it's what's best for me. Okay? Look at Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. All right? I trust that when my mind is stayed on God and I trust in God, that he'll keep me in peace. Even if I don't get it, even if it doesn't make sense, I trust in God's care. See, the bottom line is your life will never be problem-free. And anyone who thinks it will be is sadly mistaken. There's no such thing as a person who doesn't have problems. If there is, I would love to meet this person, make him president of the world, because I've never met such a person. Everyone's got problems. The way I look at it in my life, if it's not one problem, it's another. The way I look at it is it's like my life is like an aircraft carrier, okay, like those big boats in the middle of the sea where the planes come up and go down, okay? And when you're on an aircraft carrier, there's only so much space that you have. But let's say there's like 10 or 20 planes that are circling around. And each one of these planes is like a problem. And I'm on the aircraft carrier, and as soon as I see this one, okay, this is the highest priority, I gotta get this resolved, I get it landed down, I get it parked, get that okay. Does that mean life is break and everything's fine? As soon as I get rid of number one, number two is coming, that guy's running out of gas, I gotta get him on this plane, on this aircraft carrier as well. And I get him landed, number three is ready, then number four, number five, number six, it never ends. Okay, there's an infinite number of problems in life. And if your only way of finding peace is, when I get rid of my problems, then I'll have peace, you're in trouble, okay? You are in trouble because you will never get rid of your problems. If you're the kind of person that only enjoys life, only rests when you're on vacation, man, you're in trouble. You need to learn how to have peace in the midst of problems, okay? In spite of your problems, to have peace in the midst of them. Because the bottom line is, this earth is not perfect. This earth is a fallen earth. There's human people who make bad mistakes. You yourself make dumb decisions. We all do things that we wish we didn't do, and all that kinds of stuff. So what we need to learn how to do is to have peace despite the problems and trust in God's care. Okay? And then here's the beautiful part of all that. Okay? If you learn how to do that, if you learn how to surrender and learn how to accept God's plan and trust in God's care, there's a beautiful promise, okay, that our Lord makes in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Look at that on your handout and memorize that verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things, our Lord, they were asking him about food and clothing and drink, and our Lord comes and says, look, forget about all those things, okay? Forget about your job. Forget about what you're going to eat. Forget about your shoes. Forget about your haircut. Forget about all that kind of stuff. Seek first the kingdom of God. Trust in God. Surrender to God. Make him your number one priority, and I'll take care of all these other things. That's something that we all know here. But what I'm saying today is if you want peace in life, it's got to move from here to here. Okay? You have to really accept this and live this out. Because it's real easy, like I said, to yap, yap, yap and talk and I trust God, but it's a different thing to accept and surrender and to really trust in him. Alright? But when you do that, he'll take care of you. My question to you right now, is your life at peace today? Or is your life in turmoil? Is your life stress-free or stressful? Or somewhere in between? You can answer that question, and if the answer is you need more peace in life, then I want you to ask yourself a question. What do I need to surrender? What do I need to accept? Or what do I need to trust in God's care? Because there's something there, and that thing is the roadblock to it. Okay? He wants to give you that peace, and if you look at the next verse, okay, it tells you what to do, what your action item is. Present yourselves to God and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Enough being at war with God, is what he's saying. Enough fighting against him. Let's make peace here. You join my side and you present yourself to me and you'll find peace. The last thing, look at the back of your hand out there. The Serenity Prayer, which is something that I'm sure you guys have all seen before. It's a famous prayer, all right? But anytime I've seen it, and anytime you've probably seen it, you've seen the edited version, okay? And the edited version is just those first four lines. God grant me the serenity to accept the thing I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's a beautiful prayer. But the end part is really where the power lies. Let's read that. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. You notice there's three words there that I underlined. Accepting, trusting, and surrender. And if you learn how to accept, trust and surrender, then you'll find the other word that I underlined there, which is pathway to peace. Okay? So on my copy right here, I circled accepting, trusting, and surrender, and I drew an arrow to pathway to peace, because that's what God is offering us. That if you learn how to accept, how to surrender, and how to trust, then that's the only path to finding peace in this life. It's a beautiful prayer here that I encourage you to take home and pray with you yourself in your quiet time or in your whatever. Okay? Anyone got any questions? Okay, yes, Maria. No problem.
How do you balance that with the whole idea of like persistence in prayer? Let's say with the sick child or something, when God says,
good question.
Pray for something and you will receive.
Okay, so the question that Maria asked is an excellent question, which is how do you balance surrender or trust or accepting with persistence in prayer? So am I saying that you should accept God's will? And where's the role of prayer then in all this thing? Very, very, very good question. I'm glad you asked it. Acceptance in prayer and persistence in prayer must work hand in hand. Look at it this way. You gave the example of like a sick child, okay? So let's say my child is sick, all right? And of course, that brings me distress and this and that. So I'm going to pray. And I should pray because God promised us that if we pray, that, you know, we can change God's will with our prayer, and we can move the hand that moves the earth with prayer. And we should pray morning, noon, and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and call for prayer meetings and ask everyone to pray. Then let's say the boy dies. The acceptance comes, what's going to happen next? Am I bitter towards God? Do I say, I prayed and God failed me? Or do I say, you know what? I prayed and this was God's will. It hurts. It stinks. I wish it wasn't so, but I accept it and I still love you, God, and I still continue to pray. Many times, that's where, like I said, with the resentment, that's where people lose it with God. That I prayed and prayed and prayed and God didn't do squat. Therefore, I'm bitter towards him or I resent him or anything like that. Acceptance and prayer or surrender comes at, right now I'm praying that he would be healed. But I'm saying, God, even if he's not healed, I'm still your son and I'm still your boy and I'm still going to do whatever it is you tell me to do and I'm still going to live my life to the fullest according to your plan. I really wish he was healed. But even if he's not, I'm sure you have a better plan. That's where the two meet hand in hand. Does that make sense?
Kind of, what if it's like kind of a persistent situation, let's say about a friend.
Okay.
That you've been praying about, and is there a stopping point where you stop praying?
No. There's never a stopping point where you stop praying. And by the same token, there's never a stopping point where you stop accepting God's will. Okay? So I pray 150 million times. And that means that I have to accept God's will if the answer is no 150 million times. Okay? So with every prayer comes acceptance. Okay? And that's why, you know, if you look in this prayer, like in a little, like right here we prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. A little bit later on, we're going to say, hey, give us this day our daily bread. You know, give me something to eat. I'm hungry. Give me some food for today. But it starts off. That's actually where I would say it's important that the order is important. I go into prayer saying, God, whatever it is that you say is best, I trust in that. However, here's what I think, and I'd really like it to be this way. Okay. But if you deem it not necessary, I trust you. But if I can, you know, twist your arm a little bit into doing this, then I'll try my best. Okay. Make sense? Anyone else got any other questions? Yes, Irene.
I'm just a little confused. What's the difference between accepting and surrendering?
The way I defined it here is I was using acceptance as accepting a specific situation. Okay? So that sick child. But surrender is more of a way of life. That I should wake up in the morning and surrender whatever's going to happen to me. Okay? The two really work hand in hand, but I was using it as accepting an illness versus surrendering a lifestyle. Okay? But the two really are one and the same. Okay? One's just bigger. Anyone else? Okay, let's stand for a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, our dear Heavenly Father, for gathering us here inside your house today, and we thank you for this blessed day and this another chance that we get to focus on you and worship you and stand in your presence. We thank you, dear Lord, for all that you have done for us in life, and we realize so often that we are truly ungrateful for the many things that you have done for us. But as we gather in your presence now, dear Lord, we truly pray with all of our hearts that your kingdom come, your will be done in my life and in the life of all of my brothers and sisters who are standing before you. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to accept the tough situations in life, the things that we don't want to accept and things that we are trying 24 hours a day to change, that you would help us to accept those situations, that you would help us to surrender control of our life and every single detail of it to you. Lord, how stupid are we that we try to control ourselves when we don't know what's best for ourselves? We're like little two-year-olds who think we can tell our parents what's best for us. We thank you for your patience with us and not destroying us in your anger and in your wrath. And we pray that you would, again, dear Lord, help us to really surrender the things that are hard and really trust in you when things are difficult. Give us a special blessing and a special grace today. Bless our church. Bless our gathering here. Bless our Father, Abunab Shoy, and Tisoni Irini, and all those who ask us, remember them in our prayers. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the intercessions of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, and the prayers of St. Mark and all of your saints, hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, the gift and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.